Only hope it's worth listening to now. So as I'm sure you're aware, we're coming up to the season of Advent, so these four Sundays leading up to Christmas, they are meant to be this time of preparation, expectation, a time of wonder, a time of reflection. They're a chance, they're an invitation to any and all of us to take a step back from the craziness of what Christmas has become and wonder again at what God has done for us in Jesus. I'm going to let you into a probably very widely known secret anyway, but for members of the clergy and for others who preach regularly, Advent is also a time of dread. I do not know a minister who doesn't struggle with Advent, who doesn't struggle to bring out something new out of the Christmas story every single year. Because let's face it, we have all read it, we've all heard it, we've all seen it acted out by young children with tea towels on their heads more times than we can remember, more times than we can even begin to count. So we can easily start to think, well, there's nothing left in this story that's new. There's nothing left in this story that'll make us stop and really think. Nothing in this story that will surprise or shock us. Nothing in this story that will take our breath away, that will make us stop what we're doing and say thank you. So with all that in mind, I have tried really hard to come at the story of the birth of Jesus with some fresh eyes. And what I've seen are questions. Questions asked by some of the really important characters in the story. Questions that might seem really small, but have, I think, really big answers. Questions that might seem really specific and personal to them, but have, I think, a real resonance with questions that we might ask as we try and follow Jesus day by day. So what I want to try and do this afternoon is just tell a part of the story again, of course, so that we can hear just how much God loves us and think again about what he has done on our behalf. But I also want us to see a question that is asked by someone who is at the heart of the story, someone who is crucial to the story. And then think a little bit about how this question might help us go a little bit deeper in our own relationship with God, and maybe begin this process of preparing our hearts to respond afresh to the coming weeks ahead as we hear again the familiar story of the Saviour being born. So I'm going to read to you just a few verses from Luke chapter 1. I'm reading from an NIV. You're very welcome just to listen, but if you would like to look it up, this is Luke 1, verses 26 to 38. So Luke writes this. In the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you're to give him the name Jesus. And he will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who was said to be barren is in her sixth month. For nothing is impossible with God." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May it be to me as you have said." And the angel left her. Mary, soon to be mother of Jesus, asks, how will this be? I mean, that's a fair question from her, isn't it? She has just been told by an angel that even though she's a virgin, she will become pregnant, and that baby boy that she will give birth to will be known as the Son of God, and he will sit on the throne of David, meaning that he's a descendant of Israel's greatest ever king, and so will reign over the people of Israel, and that his reign and his kingdom will last forever. Now, that's a lot for anyone to take in, let alone someone that we believe to be a 13-year-old girl. And absolutely none of it seems to make sense. Pregnant? With a descendant of King David? And he will reign forever? Now, I think Mary's response is absolutely understandable and quite possibly a massive understatement by the gospel writer Luke. In my head, Mary is going absolutely crazy. Head in hand, she's hyperventilating. She's scared out of her wits, can't stand still, words tumbling out of her mouth far too quickly to be understood, too quickly to be answered, because an angel has just told her that her day and her life has just been turned completely upside down. In my head, she is an absolute gibbering wreck. Luke, however, is gentle with her. He's kind with her. I picture him just saying, "I'll just write." And Mary asked of the angel, "How will this be?" Mary asks, "How will this be?" In other words, how could this even happen? Or even, God, can you even do this? How will this be? Could this even happen? God, can you even do this? This is what I think Mary is asking. And the question is so real, and it is so genuine, but it is also so relevant. It is a question that brings the story of Mary, which is just about as far removed from our own story and our own experience that the whole episode can feel that it's just a bit of a fairy tale. But this question, God, how will this be? Can you even do this? I believe it brings this story into part of our everyday experience. In my opinion, it makes this part of the story so relevant, because that can easily be a question that's on my lips, on your lips. Dare we say to God, how will this be? Could you even do this? How can this ever happen? Mary, this frightened, terrified 13-year-old girl, she tells us that it's okay to question God like this. How will this be? Can you even do this? How could this ever happen? I wonder what sort of things God might be asking us to pray for. God might be asking you to pray for. Or saying to us that he wants to do or that he will do. Telling us to faithfully wait for. But we're having such a hard time believing that such a thing can or will happen. Or what might we be desperate for God to do, crying out for God to do, but because it has not happened by now, and maybe we've been praying for it for years and years and years, but because it's not happened by now, and maybe because God seems silent about it, we're not sure that he can or will or wants to do such a thing. How will this be? Could this even happen? God, can you do this? Mary's mind is blown by what the angel said Almighty God has chosen to do through her. That's what's prompted her question. But our questions will be prompted by something very different, something just as personal and important to us. You know, maybe we're desperate for God to heal. Maybe ourselves, or maybe someone that we love dearly. Maybe it's a physical healing that we're asking for, a serious disease, a long-standing problem. Or maybe it's mental or emotional healing that we're longing for. Or maybe it's the healing of a relationship, a family member that no longer speaks to us, a friendship long broken because of things said or things done. And we feel like God keeps telling us to pray. Or at least he hasn't told us to stop praying. But we've been asking him to do this for so long that Mary's question becomes our question. God, how will this be? How can this ever happen? Can you even do this? Or maybe rather than healing, maybe we're desperate for God to bring about some transformation. First and foremost in our own lives, maybe. Our own character, our own behaviours. God, I don't want to be stuck in this rut anymore. I don't want to be making the same mistakes and the same bad choices again and again. Will you not do something new in my life? Will you not set me free from all this? Or maybe it's not us, but some of the situations that we're in that we long for God to transform. It might be really difficult for you at work, or maybe your children or grandchildren might be struggling at school. Maybe you're struggling with some of your neighbours. It could be anything at all. But you find yourself crying out to God, God, I just don't know what to do about this. I'm at my wit's end. I feel like giving up. Can you not do something? Can you not change something? Or maybe God has put on your hearts to pray for the transformation, I don't know, the whole of the Northeast or all of Redcar and its surrounding area, or maybe even just the street where you live. And yet nothing seems to change. Or there's a step forward. You know, something really good happens, but then there's what seems to be three steps back. And we wonder if anything will ever really change. God, you say that you want to bring freedom. You say that you bring light and life, but this place doesn't feel any different. How can this be, God? How can this ever happen? Can you even do this? And here, following Jesus day by day, for me living in South Bank, for you in and around Mask, Mary's question becomes my question, becomes your question. God, how will this be? Can you even do this? But of course, it's not just about the question. It's about the answer. And I wonder how God might have responded to Mary when she asked, how will this be? And how might God respond to us when we're in that place of asking, how can this ever happen? Can you even do this? I think God might want to say two things to Mary and to us. Two things. And they're this. Remember all that you know about me, and remember what I have done before. Remember all that you know about me, and remember what I have done before. When we, out of desperation, out of longing, out of despair, when we say, God, can you even do this? He might say to us, to me, to you, he might say, remember all you know about me. Remember that I sit on the throne and that I have all power and authority. Remember that no enemy can stand against me and that all must bow before me. Remember that I can simply speak and that which did not exist before comes into being. Remember that I see the end from the beginning and that I know what is coming and I know what will happen. Remember that my plans and my purposes cannot be thwarted by anything ever. Remember that I have promised always to love you and never to turn away from you. Remember that I have known you and loved you since before time began. Remember, I am working even when you don't see it, even when you don't realize it.
There is so much that we know about who God is, about what God is like.
So much that we have learned from our personal experience. So much that we have learned from Scripture. To stop and think about these things, to literally try and remember what God is like when we're at the point of asking God, how can this be? Can you even do this? It gives us a different perspective. It renews our confidence in God.
So when we ask those questions of God, those real questions, those painful questions, those despairing questions, God, how can this be? Can you even do this? Remember all that you know about me. And remember all that I have done before. Remember that I have broken the power of sin and death, and I have saved you. Remember that I have forgiven you, restored you, and blessed you beyond measure. Remember that I have given you my Spirit, and I live within you. Remember that I have done so much in your life already. Remember that I have answered so many of your prayers already. Remember that I have kept all of the promises that I have ever made to you, and I will continue to keep them. We ask God, how will this be? How can ever this happen? Can you even do this? And God responds, my child, remember all that you know about me. Remember all that I have done before.
I think that the question that Mary asks at this point in the story and the response that I believe it could prompt from God, it turns this story from a once in a year routine read into a scripture that gives us something to hold on to when life gets messy. When we're waiting and hoping for something that seems so far away. When everything seems to be so stuck and we don't know what else we can do. Are you right now holding on for a miracle? Is there one thing or maybe many things that you've been crying out for God to do? Are you longing for God to act in some way? What is it that you need him to do? Are you at that point where you're ready to give up? Are you at that point of where you're asking God whether he's able to do something that seems to be impossible? God, can you even do this? How will this be? God might just say, remember all that you know about me, and remember all that I have done before. The story of Mary's encounter with the angel, it's a story of God doing something miraculous, something that he has never done before. But the angel doesn't tell Mary everything, of course. You know, Mary questions whether God, the creator and giver of all life, can bless her with a baby. But the angel doesn't tell her the Almighty God's plan is so much bigger than that baby. His plan is to tackle the biggest, most powerful and destructive problem there is. Because that would really cause her to ask, but God, how can this be? Let's pray together. I'm going to give you a moment.